Praise the Lord. For just a moment, I ask the brothers to play something. This song is by Yolanda Adams. And if you just turn it up for a moment, I just wanted you to hear just a little bit of it.
It's been a long time since we've gotten together like this.
I'm going to ask you just to stand for a minute. Father, we thank you for this day, and we just thank you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of everything. And Father, I thank you that if we're just still, we will know, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us even until the end, Father. I thank you that you have walked amongst us day after day. And I pray today, Father, as I speak, that we will learn more about what you, Father, have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. At age 16, I had them play that song because I'm standing before you not exactly feeling my greatest. And so physically, I don't feel the greatest that I have ever felt. But I am here today, and this is what I'm speaking on today is a call to the nation. A call to the nations. We have an opportunity that is unfolding, and the blessings of God is here. And I want to talk a little bit about that thing that is unfolding. At the age of 16, I went on my first missions trip. I didn't know what to expect, but because of the excitement that was inside of me, the one thing I knew is that I wanted to go there, and I wanted to bring the gospel in such a way that people's lives were changed. I wasn't sure all the way going to do that, but I knew that God had spoken specifically to me that he was going to change lives. I have to tell you something. Being a teenager, when we went, and we went with Speed the Light the first time I ever went on a missions trip, what they told me is, you know, you won't get an opportunity to speak. You'll just be working. You'll just be doing things. And midway before we left, the Lord said, prepare a sermon to speak. And I said, well, God, they said they never let the teenagers speak. And he said, I don't care what they said, you prepare to speak. So I got things together and I prepared to speak. We were on the trip and we were almost at the very end. And Brother Tom, who's a part of the Assemblies of God, looked over at me. He said, I cannot speak today. And I said, why? And he said, well, they said, your pastor said you're a preacher. He said, I can't speak today because I don't feel well. He said, so what I'm going to ask you to do is to bring the message today. And here I was, just understanding all that God was saying, but knowing that God said to prepare. And there I had prepared for the service. I pulled out everything and I began to preach the gospel. In that service, God really moved. We had a great service. But I'm telling you, all I knew is I didn't want to disappoint God. I knew that I wanted to see many souls come to Jesus Christ. The goal of it in my heart was not to be famous. The goal was not for people to remember me, but the goal was for people to remember Jesus Christ. Acts 17 and 6 says this. But they did not find them there. Then they dragged Jason and some other Christians out in front of the leaders and cried out, these men who have been making trouble all over the world have come here also. The King James Version said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here too. The goal of the gospel and to take the gospel to another place is to turn the world upside down, to see the go forth. In Thessalonica, they were very upset. They brought the magistrates out and the rulers of the city, and they were angry because preaching about Jesus Christ when they thought they should be preaching about Caesar being the king. And they were preaching about Jesus Christ. The message there was that they were saying, serve God. Serve him with all your heart. He loves you. They were talking about a message that they took through that were violating all the rules and the regulations of what the Jewish people thought should be said. We are taking a message. And the message we're taking to the highway, byways, and hedges. And the message is not always a pleasing message. It is not always a message that makes people smile. But it is a message that says that Jesus loves you. Jesus has come to break the yokes in your life. Jesus has come to change your heart. Jesus has come to give you newness. These are they that have turned men from their old religious traditional ways into a way of worshiping and becoming followers of Jesus Christ. That was the goal, to become followers of Jesus Christ. When you go out and you're telling others about Jesus Christ, what is the goal? The goal is to tell others about becoming followers of Jesus Christ. I have lived my life to want to see my entire family come to the Lord. I have lived my life that wherever I go, I want people to serve Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I may not be able to tell you a bunch of fancy things, but what I can tell you is that I want you to have Jesus Christ in your heart. That's been the goal of my life. Wherever I go, I make sure that I take time to tell people about the love of Christ. The personal instructions of Jesus to his disciples are found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. He gave personal instructions to his disciples. Christ also gave personal instruction to his followers to take action in the earth. He didn't put us here. He didn't save us. He didn't give us the opportunity to become Christians, to be secret Christians, to be people that don't open up your mouth and tell other people about the love of Christ. We say we love people. We say we love change. We say we love our friends. How can you love me if you are not willing to tell me about the King of love? How can you love your neighbor that sits next to you when you see their life in ruins and in shambles and you are not willing to open your mouth and tell them? The Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, teaching them the entire truth. He wants you to teach them the entire truth of his word. says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Sometimes you feel like you're by yourself, but I'm telling you, God is with you. If you're willing to go out and you're willing to tell people about Jesus Christ, you're willing to tell the person in this cubicle and the person in this cubicle, you're willing to stand up and be different. Lo, I am with you always. Jesus Christ is with you. You are not alone. We are not alone. And as we go out, we start in our neighborhoods, and then we venture out to our city, and then we venture out to countries and other places. Everywhere you go, the heart of Jesus Christ is that he loves people. He loves people. And who is it that doesn't want to be loved? Just sitting, when I was in Bible college, I was sent to Muncie Prison to sit and to pray with inmates and to do services at Muncie Prison. And I remember the first day I was there, just to hear the gates closing behind me. You know, every time a gate would close, I would jump. And the gate would close again, and I would jump. And I felt like, okay, I'm in here now. I mean, there is no getting out of here. Every gate that closed left me in there with them. And as they all came in the room, they closed the church door too. It said click. And I said, okay, this is real. I'm in here now. And as I'm standing there, I could feel the Spirit of the Lord coming upon me. And he said, what, Robin? What is it that they all need? They had one common denominator. They all needed Jesus Christ, and they all needed love. And so I spoke about love in that very first service at Muncie Prison. And I saw women that had committed murder just crying, tears coming down their cheeks. Because the one thing I was there to tell them, I came to tell them that God so loved the world that he gave. And I had the opportunity to ask them, how many of you have ever been given anything that didn't cost you something? For God so loved the world that he gave. And all of a sudden, the women began to break, and they started crying, and I could hear not just sniffles, but tears and crying, because we all had something in common. We all had a need for a Savior. You see, there are common denominators that when you look at me and I look at you, we have one common denominator. Our need for the love of Christ, our need for Jesus Christ to walk inside of us. We may not speak the same language. We may not wear the same clothes. We may not have come from the same area. We may not have the same story. But one thing we all have in common, and that is our need for Jesus Christ. Need for love to come into our lives. I always think of when you go someplace, people always talk about differences. The big swing for our early childhood education right now is differences. They want to make sure that you keep talking about multiculturalism and that children understand that all cultures can do everything together. But I always look at the children, and because we're allowed to have chapel here and we teach the children about God, our children could care less if they come in looking different. Our children could care less about the languages that they all speak. What our children care about is when we start worship service downstairs and the children are all together, all they know is that their common denominator is that they all want Jesus. And when their little hands go up in the air, when they're jumping around and they're worshiping God, they run over, they're hugging each other, they're kissing each other. They could care less about that. The common denominator is Jesus. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. This is on our impact for our Father's house. Mark 16:15 is there too. And he said, go ye into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel, the funny part about preaching the gospel is not just preached with. The gospel is preached with your hands and your feet. We always think of preaching as being, I get a chance to say something. But you say something with your hands. By loving a person, by reaching out to a person, by feeding a person, by clothing a person. That's the gospel with hands and feet to it. It's the gospel that says, I love you enough that I want to leave you in a different state than when I first came. I want you to be different. I want you to have more. I want you to know that Jesus Christ was here and I bought the message, but we bought the message in many ways. When I was little, every time someone came to our neighborhood, much younger, they bought food because we lived in the ghetto and we were poor. And they bought food. And I remember one time saying to someone, why do they feed us first? Well, later I understood, if a person is hungry and you're expecting them to listen to you, how does that work? You need to feed them first. And once you feed them and you meet their needs, they have the opportunity to hear the message. So when you're going on the field and you're going out and you're going out to teach and preach, you take things with you that will minister to the total needs of a person. Not just the gospel. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and that the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free. That's the message. You don't have to be the same. When I leave an area, I anticipate that when I walk away from that area, that the people will not be the same. Why? Not because of me, but because of the message I'm taking in. Their lives should be different. Even if you're not going to preach, when you sit in the midst of a group, just sitting there, I walk things and just everyday things. I come in and I just sit. And people say, it feels different just because you're here. And I'm thinking they're crazy. I really am. I'm thinking I'm just here. You know, I just came to the shower, and they're like, yeah, but it feels different. And I'm there to laugh and to talk, and I'm thinking, how is it different? It's different because when we walk into places, we bring light. We are the salt of the earth. We are the city that sits on the hill that cannot be hid. Light comes in, and we affect the darkness. And you don't have to stand and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You don't have to wear signs on your back. But when we walk in, if you are serving Jesus Christ, walks in. And so we have the opportunity to take light into darkness. Missions. I picked up a secular definition first of what missions really is, because I wanted to see what the secular generation thinks it is. And this is what it said. The vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. How general. But they did say especially Christians, because we are known for sharing our faith wherever we go. But that was their definition. Proverbs 31:8-9 gives a definition. It says, speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speaking up for the poor and the helpless, and see that they get justice. When we go into different countries and we go into different places, we take the message of Jesus Christ that he loves them and that he wants to be in their life. But after taking the message, you are there to see that they are not just left in the condition in which they are. Our Father's house believes in fostering relational missions. Pastor and I were talking about this before he left, before I introduced all of this. We were talking about relational missions. He said he hates the word missions because people think of running into a country, doing a few things, coming back bragging about what they did. And not realizing that those are people and that there are relationships that need to be built so that you can minister to them from afar. You can still talk to them. You can write them. You can communicate with them. You can find out how they're doing. And then bodies of Christ can minister to them also. So it's relationship missions. It's building a long-term relationship with people, caring about them, nurturing them individually, spiritually, physically, and economically. Caring about the condition. You know, because of how many times Pastor had gone to the Ukraine and all the ministry there, when all the things started happening in the Ukraine with Russia, I called Pastor and I said, because this is my heart. My heart beats after missions and people hurting and evangelism. And I would call him and I'd ask him, how are the people doing in the Ukraine? How's the church doing in the Ukraine? How are they being affected by what's going on? And he said to me one day, he said, you know, you care about this so much because this is what your heart beats after. I don't go places and just meet a person and drop them. I go places and build relationships. I'm a person that sticks with you all the way to the end. I'm like a diehard friend. And one of the things I learned from somebody that was really close to me was years ago was the person said, if you're trying to get rid of me or you're trying to offend me, you have to tell me because I'm going to stick with you. So say, I am offending you. I no longer want you with me. Get away from me. Because I'm not going to just take, so you have an attitude. That's what I say. Oh, you got an attitude today. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow. But my attitude is, I'm a lifer. I'm a lifer because I believe that God wants us to be there for people. Be there in the beginning, be there in the middle, and be there in the end. And I have friends over the years that all these years I have kept in touch with, that we have ministered to in different countries. And I have the opportunity to go back because I kept in touch with them. I've seen their children grow up. I've seen children being born by pictures that they've sent me of the children being born. I've had the opportunity of knowing that they're still praying for me and I'm still praying for them. Acts the 14th chapter, verses 21 and 22. We're not going to read it, but I'm going to give you a breakdown according to what our Father's house believes with relations. It is introducing families to Jesus Christ, new converts. So missions, the whole idea is introducing families. When they heard the gospel to the city and had made many disciples. Disciples were made. So new converts. We're going for the purpose of new converts. Then new communities. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, to see a church grow, and then to nurture churches, strengthen the souls of the disciples, encourage them to continue in the faith. How many know you get pretty discouraged when your community and your government and all of that is falling apart and you're constantly being attacked? You get pretty discouraged. But that's a part of missions because you go in and you hold the hand up of the brothers and the sisters that are there. Paul built relationally with people on his missions journey. Acts 16 chapter, verses 14 through 15, talks about Lydia as she sold purple linen. But the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to me, come to my house and stay." And he went there and he preached and he taught the gospel from out of her house. She persuaded him to come, building relationship. Acts 16:28-34, the Philippian jailer. At midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises and hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and every chain was loosed, and the keeper of the prison awakened from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. The gospel is given out, and it's not just given to him, but to his whole house. So what is all of this about, Robin? On July 11th through the 23rd, 2016, the youth and the adult of our Father's house have been given an opportunity to work with the missionaries in Ireland. We will partner with the missionaries in Ireland and serve in whatever capacity we are asked. I would like to show you a quick video. Rebecca Jarbo is going to come up and she's going to do a PowerPoint. Now, we're talking about going in, and Rebecca will talk with you about that for a moment. And as we go to Ireland and we have that opportunity, I'm going to tell you a couple of other things when she is done.
First, I'd like to correct Robin. It's Rachel.
Oh, I said it. Sorry. Rachel.
Sorry about that. So above is going to be some slides. We are going to go to Ireland to a city called Cork. It's in the county of Cork, Ireland. It's southern Ireland. The organization we're going to go with is called Gospel Passion. It's an affiliate of the National Ambassadors of Youth Ministry. It's a part of the Assemblies of God. What we're going to be doing there is, I'm coming down because I don't like being up on stage. What we're going to do there is we're going to show God's love in relationship through Vacation Bible School, through programs, doing either Bible clubs or whatnot, that the missionaries we're going with, named Matt and Ada Cork. And so we're going to be assisting them in just building relationships that they've had for the last 3 years in their city that they're ministering at. And it's just loving on parents in broken homes, loving on kids, and just showing the gospel through relationship and through dramas and, like I said, VBS. And so we're just going to be there for that, the 11th through the 23rd of July on next summer of 2016. We'll have more information in the back. I'll be in the back with that information if you're interested. Thank you.
Amen. Rachel has done a lot of work to gather all this information. We've been working on it for a while, but she started working on it earlier. She is going to be our liaison along with myself, but I'm leaving a lot of that to her. I'm dealing with the fundraising aspect of it and making sure that the funds are raised and that people can go. Now, I want to tell you something. If you are interested in taking this trip, you must know that it's a big commitment. It's not a little commitment. It includes training. It includes fundraising, completing and turning your paperwork in on time. There will be no exceptions or extensions given. We have a deadline with the ministry that we are going with. And so we can't say we have a family going, but they're going to turn their paperwork in 2 weeks late. Not going to happen. You're going to turn these things in on time. And Rachel has worked out a deadline schedule to make sure that everything is in on time. Give Rachel a wonderful hand clap, because I'm telling you that she has been marvelous. I feel very fortunate to be working with her and to have someone on my team that loves missions like I do. I'm very excited. All the ones that are working with our team, with the quadrant, what is it for? Please stand. Stand if you're working. Wanda, stand. God has opened up some other doors in the future. Wanda Gay has, she goes over to Dominica and to St. Martin, and we'll be looking at that trip in the future and taking some over. Again, we are taking teens and adults, teens starting at the age of 14 and going upward, and adults. So please partner together, help us. This is going to stay before you, because we are going to bring our fundraisers to you at each and every part. I'm going to give Rachel a chance to go to the back. Let me say this one more time, because I will be the person that everybody will be mad with. So today is the day I can smile at you. There will be no exceptions. There will be no exceptions or extensions to the deadline dates given. So it stops here. I love you, but I can't let you pass through. Not happening. Everybody see this? I'm letting you know in a friendly way, because people get very angry when they don't turn their paperwork in time, and then they come and say, can I still go? They have talked with us, and they have met with us via phone and FaceTime, letting us know that when they give us a time, they need all of our money in, all of our stuff in, all of our paperwork in at that time, so that they can give it to the missionaries that we will work with in Ireland. And everything is timed. So when you get that wonderful schedule, if you are like me, post it on your refrigerator. Walk past it every day. Look at what you should be doing, because we are telling you how to march to the beat of the right drum if you're going. Again, there will be no extensions. Okay, I think we got it. Okay, if you are here, everyone stand. If you are here and you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you that the Lord loves you, and He is the common denominator that we're going to take to Ireland, but He's also the common denominator here. You say, I'm here and I'm brokenhearted and my life seems a mess. Today is the day. Don't leave with this on your heart. You need healing. You've been sick and you need a miracle. Don't leave here feeling the same way you did when you came in. If you want prayer, those that are going to work at the altar, please come down. Those that are praying for people at the altar, please come and see them. Because today is the day. Father, we thank you. We thank you for each and everything that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. It is you that we live, we move, we have our being. I thank you, God, for today. And I pray, Father, as we begin to live this dream and move forward into this mission, that many will hear the call and will come, Lord, and want to be servants and want to be there to see a brand new ministry open up into our church. In Christ Jesus' name, Lord, bless each and every person as they depart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Daniel and Princess Barb have the youth's paperwork, and Rachel has the paperwork for the adults. You'll see them out in the foyer. Thank you.